bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. The Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week's Macintosh news. There's actually been some. There's been a keynote, if you hadn't been on Mars and didn't know about it. We'll be talking about that. And joining me, slightly diminished panel, but that's just a last-minute withdrawal from Kelly, who's realised it's Friday. Ah, well. top left from the Philippines, late in the evening, totally committed man, Kyle Swagger. How you doing, bud?
I'm well. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm great. I was a bit flustered because I went to do something with my cousin this week, and I thought I'd get back in time, and then it rained, and people in England don't know what heavy rain is. So they just decided to drive like Miss Daisy's chauffeur, so...
We know what heavy rain is over here.
I heard that
earlier in the week. So we don't drive. We don't drive. We just get our boats out. That's about it here.
Yeah, absolutely. You been well, mate?
Yeah, doing good. Busy week and ready for the weekend.
Excellent. Good man. Next to him, joining us at the last minute and saving our bacon once again, it's Jeff Gamet from the Jeff Gamet Network.
Well, you know,
AKA the British Tech Network.
Yeah, this is part of my insidious plan to take over the entire network.
Yeah.
And after that, the world.
Good man. And Carl, you can have him on the Here and There show when Missy's not available.
It's true.
And that will be a complete set then. Jeff Gamet will have taken over British podcasting.
Yeah, it totally seems appropriate on some twisted level. Yeah,
absolutely. It's entertaining takeover. In a Mel Brooks kind of way.
In an NSA kind of way.
Not really nowhere near Jeff, because Kelly's had to bail, unfortunately. Dr. Happy Mac on a different line. How you doing, mate? With Sennheiser earphones and a gorgeous sounding mic.
Ta-da. So this is my normal high-pitched, squeaky, thoroughly annoying.
There is no echo whatsoever.
Yes, there is, isn't there?
No, it is stunningly, beautifully hushed.
My God, I'm going to say
something. The curtains in the back.
So incredibly pertinent during this show, then, aren't I?
Yeah, we're going to hear you.
Total commitment to quality.
Don't forget the mute. And last but by no means least, the man who is second best in terms of podcasting now on this network because of Jeff Gamet. Carl Madden, how you doing, mate?
I'm fine, thank you very much. Friday, I'm looking forward to the pub later on and a curry, and also to autumn, which we call fall.
Are you
looking
saving?
Forward to fall, which we call autumn. There you go.
Are you saving already? This is an interesting point here, because we have Carl on, who last night recommended the comic podcast, the comic show, with one we've just started. And we have two members of that podcast on, which is Jeff and Dr. Happy Mac. So tell us about it. This is a great new podcast for us.
Well, it's certainly fun to do, isn't it, Jeff?
It's loads of fun, yes.
So what's
one of the many fantastic shows on my network.
On your network, absolutely. I'm just sitting thinking, there isn't really that much news for comics, is there? I know you did the Comic-Con thing last week, but...
Yeah, there's not really... No, I mean, obviously comics get published on a mostly weekly basis. But no, not, you know, there's not sort of news in the same way as Mac news. But there is just massive amounts of content. There's always something to talk about. There's artists, there's, you know, what's happening in comics. I've got a whole load of sort of round-robin discussions that we can talk about. You know, how, you know, golden age of comics, is that, you know, when was that? Is it now? Digital comics, e-readers, women in comics, you know, portrayal of women in comics, all sorts of stuff.
Good.
You know, comics, you know, for children, teen comics, you know, on and on. It's great. And it's really interesting to talk about, and everyone just seems to be having a blast. So hopefully we'll be episoding away into the future.
If you're a comic geek, you'll love it. If you're a man who liked Roy of the Rovers when he was a kid and loves picking up Marvel comics and reading them but hasn't got every episode since the year dot, I mean, is it going to appeal to me as well?
Yes. That's
the right answer. Well done, Jeff. Jesus Christ. DHM, don't frigging pause when I ask that. That was a Fed question, mate.
Yes, it's just for you. It's spot on.
That's called a feed, and you gave me a bloody hospital ball.
That's okay. I picked up the ball and ran with it.
Never mind. I can edit. There we go. That'll do. If you haven't listened to it yet, track out the comic joke, and because it is. I've listened to the first one all the way through. I haven't managed to listen to them all yet. But and podcast isn't working on iOS 7. Get that sorted. We're here for the keynote. I mean, do we start at the top of the pile and work down, or do we start with the good and work towards the bad, or where do you want to fancy off? Stop Mac Pro?
Yeah.
Well, we've discussed this ad infinitum, haven't we? We talked about whether there's going to be one, when it's going to happen, whether it'll change in form factor, or it'll just be another cheese grater, and holy crap, was it not another cheese grater?
It was not another cheese grater.
It's a wind turbine.
It looks like a air purifier.
It does. A Dyson air purifier of some description.
It looks like an airport ashtray.
No.
Wow.
And it takes with a smoke machine that takes away the smoke. Now, I mean,
it's not to say that it doesn't actually look stunning at for a computer. It does, and it if you take the black surround off it. And we've seen photos of it in its glass case and things. I mean, it really looks like something that Hollywood's put together when they were told to imagine what the computer of the future would look like. It really does.
I mean, it is. You can't deny that as a design piece of engineering, it's superb. And you've got to say, though, this is the one thing. You're going to have a hard time getting people to believe that this is as powerful or more powerful than the cheese grater that I keep banging my leg on the floor here. This thing's 9 inches by 6 inches. I mean, it's not a big piece of hardware.
No, it's not. But it's a very clever use of space.
It is. Absolutely.
I just love what they did inside, where they kind of turned it inside out on the inside.
Yeah. The folded away wings of RAM.
Yeah. And wrapping all of the circuit boards around the heat sinks. So the entire core is actually a giant heat sink.
Yeah, with the fan turbine right up through the center, so like a ducted fan.
Yeah.
You can actually use it to power your plane as well as.
It probably takes off, actually.
Well, yeah, that's the next question, is whether it's going to be our desktop machine or whether it's just going to be a wastebasket on the floor that you kick around.
You know, I've already started envisioning several mods for this. The first one, of course, is a Dalek.
Oh.
And then I want someone to paint it plaid and then put a white stripe across the top and a handle on the sides, so we have the thermos mod. I've heard people talking about R2-D2 mods for it also.
Oh, R2-D2 is a must-have. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
So you have already seen the new Mac Pro in every science fiction movie of the last 30 years, haven't you, where the hero has to reach in, grab the core of the whatever it is, the antimatter rehydrator, twist it through 90 degrees and then pull it out to unlock it.
It's the thermonuclear device where they turn it and they have to pull it out and not touch the sides. What film was that?
Every film. James Bond film.
That one, yeah. And red. There's got to be one red wire and one blue wire on the inside.
Well, you have to cut it every time.
Yeah. If you want to change the drive over. I mean, first of all, form factor, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I used to own a black car, and I know how dirty a black car gets and how fast it gets dirty as well. So just imagine this is just going to suck up the dust in the area.
Kyle, you got a bit of a suck on there. You weren't so sure. Go on.
Oh, no, until I actually see it, I think, in person, I'm on the fence about it. It's so drastically different, which I guess in a way is a good thing, because I don't think we really expected them to do this. So finally they've done something we didn't expect them to do. When I look at it, though, since we are so accustomed in the past with how we customize the pros, how easy is this thing going to be to customize, say, on your own? As I look at it, it looks like it's pretty well, it's like a Big Mac Mini.
Well, let me, yeah, well, that's a good analogy, maybe, because getting to the drives in the Mac Mini is nigh on impossible in the old set Mac Minis with the tub on the bottom. It was like fitting a melon through a lemon. But the way I looked at it, everyone's like, oh, right, because there'll be no expandability. But from what I understand, there's an awful lot of expandability in this machine. You can put in all your own RAM just the same way that you did, What about hard drive? Because I got to say, that's glossed over me. I haven't looked at whether the hard drive can change easily or not.
Yep, that's completely expandable. You can hook that out and you can bang it up to whatever the biggest SSD that you can afford is.
And are we talking...
There's only the one of them that you can put in there, because there's only the one SSD MSR to slot on the logic board. No, it's PCI Express, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a PCIe slot.
Yeah, one PCIe slot on the board for the SSD.
Right.
But, yeah, feel free. It's just take it out. Spend all your money on a 1.5 terabyte one when they come out. Lap it in. You're done.
Now everyone's. I'm sitting here with my my Mac Pro that was donated by Don, whirring away, and that's great because I've got 4 3 terabyte drives in it doing all the hard work. And everyone's going to be going, but you can't put any extra hard drives on. But you've got was it 6 Thunderbolt 2 ports or something like that?
You have 6 Thunderbolt 2 ports, and 3 independent Thunderbolt 2 buses. So you have 2 ports ganged up on each bus.
Right.
So, yeah, so you can put a lot of external storage on. You can get yourself a PCI chassis that's external, and you can throw cards in there or whatever. So there's a lot of expandability options. They're just not the same kind of options we're used to with a pro-level tower.
Yeah, so yeah, but I've got to say, I mean, I've got the Pro and I've got the extra big discs in there, but I wouldn't be looking at that thinking I was worried at all. I'd look for some expansion, take the 3 4 drives that I've got, stick them in an external multi-bay, and Bob's your uncle. I mean, USB 3 if I want it.
By the time you spring for an external Thunderbolt RAID box, like something that Pegasus, that actually works out cheaper. I know you can, like, software RAID up the drives in the Mac Pro, but if you're going to install a RAID card in your Mac Pro, which a lot of people do, then it actually, the external option is cheaper. So, I mean, I didn't start the week when we were looking at it, because I've got a Mac Pro on my desk and I love the drives and things, and I was thinking, oh, it's a Mac Pro Mini, it's not a Mac Pro and things, but I think Apple have... Thinking about it over the week, I think they've absolutely read where the market for these things is going, and it's going that way. And I think that the old Mac Pro is just a dinosaur, and the new one, it'll find a loving home. The power's there, the speed's there, the internal hard drive upgradeability is there, and everything else is going to be external Thunderbolt, etc.
Can everyone just check phones? Because I've switched mine off, and it's definitely not me now. But there's loads of ticker tickers going on here.
I muted myself, so it won't me.
I'll just turn mine off. I'm in airplane mode, but I'll turn it off.
And if it carries on, then someone's in here with me, and I may not be alive next week.
Maybe it's the mystery man that was roaming around behind me yesterday.
Oh, it could be, yeah. Jeff's dad stabs me. Support for 3 4K monitors. Damn, that's special.
And expensive.
Oh, well, yeah. Holy crap. Hell, dang the expenditure. Why is that an issue? I don't understand that, Jeff, at all.
Oh, not an issue, just an observation.
Thing is, how much do we think the Pro's going to cost?
Ah, well, that was my next question.
Sorry.
No, because it's the size of a it's the size of a Mac Mini. It's holy moly powerful, but the components aren't going to be... I just don't see it as being the raw build costs equivalent to what we currently have. So,
yeah.
I mean, and the expandability is there. If they put a small SSD in it and let you expand yourself. I mean, DHM and I spoke very briefly about this, and we said 800. If it had a base price of 800 and then you went up on 900, then you would. I think that won't happen in a million years. I think it'd be more at like 1100 and then you expand from there. Pounds, but from £1,100, I would go, as a base level with the lowest quantity, and I add the memory myself, I add the SSD myself, I'll take that. I think that's a good price. If it starts at $1,850 like it currently is, or $2,000 and above, then sorry, fellas, keep it. What about everyone else?
I'm betting it's going to start around $2,499 US.
Really? $25?
$24, 99 cents. Act right now. We'll throw in an absolutely free Thunder Chicken cable at no additional cost to you. That's right. But wait, there's more.
Our coal advisors are waiting for your call. Yeah. No, so you reckon that's going to be $2,500 bucks worth, Jeff?
That's my guess.
I don't. The sad part is, I don't think you're probably wrong there, but I really hope you are wrong.
I hope I'm wrong too, but just based on Apple's current pricing structure and how much SSDs cost, and just looking at that thing, the first thing that popped through my mind after, oh my God, was $2,499.
Cool, Mike. So who else? I'm still getting loads of ticker noises. Something's going on. It's still... Carl, what was your thoughts?
I was going to say $4,000.
Carl, we need to be Madden and Swagger for them from now on.
Yeah, that works, yeah.
Madden, what's your thoughts?
Well, on price?
Yeah.
I think it's got to be about $3,000, personally. I've got a horrible feeling that because they've shrunk all the technology and they're putting those powerful cards in, graphics cards and all the other stuff and the design, and it's all aluminium and it's all brushed and it's all shiny, they're going to want about $3,000 for that, I reckon.
$2,999. Not pounds. Holy shit, don't say pounds.
No, pounds. So I'm thinking pounds.
Because you got to remember, these things are being made in the US too. So
assembled,
the price is going to go up on that.
Assembled.
Or assembled. Yeah, still, it's going to go up. I'm saying $3,500 to $4,000.
Right. Jesus. THM?
I would love it to be in the 1200 bracket. It's going to be the same price as the outgoing ones.
And that's it. Straight change,
yeah, it's going to be overpriced. The Mac Pro is going to continue Apple's venerable tradition of massively overpricing their professional towers. The difference this time is that they actually might start selling some.
Yeah, I'm still getting loads of ticker, guys. Whoever's got it.
My phone's in airplane mode.
Mine's off.
Yeah, and I'm in airplane mode.
I can mute myself and it still carries on.
Right. Are you art switched on then, Carl?
No.
Carl.
I'm just mute.
No, it's still coming through, and I can't think where it's coming from. Then there's nothing in here that's got a radio signal, so
it's got to be Apple. They're listening in.
Yeah, it could be NSA bastards.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah.
Never mind.
So Ewan, because Alex wrote a blog post yesterday saying he's not that impressed by this because he's a pro user and you're a pro user as well. So does it impress you?
I think pro users, the inverted commas part really is the issue that you've got to start dealing with, because in terms of functioning spec, my MacBook Pro, which is 18 months old now nearly, is more than high enough spec to run what I want for it. Well, if I get it doing some really hard crunching in Final Cut Pro or something like that, maybe it starts to wobble a little bit. But it's more than enough. I don't need any more than I currently get. So pro users, in inverted commas, I don't think Adobe's going to really stretch this immensely with basic fundamental, some of the After Effects stuff at the high end, maybe. You're going to be Pixar-level VDU compression and stuff like that before you start really worrying about whether this is really out of your reach or not.
Don't you think, though, I mean, by the design of this thing, I mean, well, the first thing I looked at is like, hey, it's the Pro for home now. It doesn't look like the Pro you would see in a studio or, you know, something that's rack-mountable. It looks like it's to move it into your home office or something or your home studio. Well, it doesn't have that.
It's got to be $1,200.
You'd think, but I don't see... 1,200 pounds, you're meaning, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're saying that this is something that they've gone from, right, it's no longer a floor-mounted unit, this is now a desktop unit, it's quiet, it's got the asymmetrical fan so that we'll get low fan speed out of it and that kind of stuff, and it's going to sit behind your monitor and do everything that you want to do, but it's going to be accessible when you want it to be, then if it's turning into a home-use pro machine because everyone's working from home, I think they've got to cut the price. They can't exist on the current $2,500.
Well, I think they can, because I think that the current £2,500 was never the realistic pro user price anyway. It was just the price that got you a Mac Pro at the base level. If you were into like full online editing suites, into massive, you know, to big professional music studios, then the Mac Pros that they were dealing with there were that, you know, £4,500-6,000 worth of computer. And I think that that's misleading to say that the $2,500 is the pro price. The $2,500 is the price that it costs, but that is still the prosumer price.
Yeah, maybe we've debated the Mac Pro far too long already because it's not even around until fall. But I mean, it's I think we're all agreed: fantastic, gorgeous, super wonderful, smashing great, loads of expandability. Yeah. Apple, for God's sake, don't hump us.
Or if you do, give us a kiss first.
Yeah,
buy us a drink.
Chat room still saying there's loads of static on the audio, so I have no idea why.
It's definitely a phone.
It's definitely a phone, and, and I have no phone that's switched on. So
I've actually fully switched mine off now.
Yeah, me too. All my stuff.
Yeah, no.
All right, I'm in airplane mode, but I'll shut mine off. You guys have no idea how much stress this causes me.
I have no idea why, but I'm just... It's there. It's definitely there. There's definitely a radio signal going through. To, if you listen to the podcast, and I haven't edited this out... Oh, well. Right. They were all going on about the fact they'd run out of cats, but I disagree, because they had OS X copycat left. because
boom, boom.
Mavericks, what a stupid frigging name. I do apologise to all you Californians, but what a stupid frigging name. It did deserve a bleep, to be honest, but I'm not going to do it because I haven't got the time this weekend. And all the stuff that they featured, I mean, I was sat there with DHM at the London Mac User Group, and I was just, that's Finder, that's Total Finder, that's Pathfinder, that's Windows 8. I didn't see a great deal of what they did with OS X Mavericks that I thought, wow. And someone the other day, Darren.com, gave me a bit of a hard time on Twitter saying I was being negative. I'm like, you're kidding me. iCal is a piece of shit. And now it's a glittery piece of shit. And he said, well, hang on, what about the maps on iCal? That was gorgeous. No, that doesn't address core functionality issues with integration with other calendar systems. Apple cannot do frigging CalDAV for some reason. I have no idea why, but it doesn't integrate at all with Google, and it's horrific when you want to try and get people who use Outlook to use with it. And that none of that was addressed. And yet they got that wonderful integration that you could use iWork with the Windows Internet Explorer. But they completely missed iCal. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. I'm going to shut up.
I have no problem with iCal because I just use it with my Google calendar. It works fine.
Yeah, but try and invite someone who's not using Google Calendar or a Mac to a meeting and see what response you get.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. See that? That's
no one wants to come to my meetings anyhow. So, you know.
Do people even use iCal, says Bookery? Everyone in the chat room has turned off their phone.
and the buzzing has gone away.
Yes. Yes. So someone maybe you, Jeff.
Maybe it was me, even in airplane mode, which is weird because...
That is weird. That means it's knackered. Have you put iOS 7 on it?
Oh, God, no. Oh, I mean, right. I've played with iOS 7, but I will not put beta software on a mission-critical device.
Mission critical. Best of luck on your trip to Mars, mate.
The thing that I do Twitter with when I'm away from my desk. Mission critical.
Absolutely. Right, someone convert me. Someone tell me there was something in OS X Mavericks that went wow, and I'm being a bit harsh.
It's nice to have maps on the desktop. It is nice to have maps.
Right.
That's a goodie. I didn't need an OS update for it, but it's a goodie.
Okay.
Another plus for the maps on the desktop is that finally something I've been bitching about since we've had maps available to us on iOS devices is I want to be able to look up something on my desktop and then push it over to my iPhone so I have the location and travel directions without having to do the search over again on my iPhone.
Mm.
So I really like that.
Good.
And there's actually a lot of stuff that I was very pleased with in the Finder.
Also, like as the chat room saying, the AirPlay sharing the screen stuff, turning your telly into your second screen and not just mirroring it anymore.
Yeah, it was only mirroring before. It wasn't secondary monitor, was it, via AirPlay? Yeah. So that is
pretty... Right.
Okay, I'll give you that
one.
I'll
tell you now, that's not coming to a Mac less than a year old. I if it is running.
Why not, then, DHM?
Well, I mean, neither does... I mean, if for a simple mirroring to the thing does, you know, requires a Mac of a certain age, then actually actively sending your a separate desktop to the screen is going to take even more out of the poor darling.
Didn't they?
I think there's a whole lot of stuff in Maverick. It will run on some surprisingly old kit.
I mean,
a 2008 MacBook Pro will do it, but you ain't going to be getting all the new stuff.
I mean, the hottest piece of kit out there at the moment in the teleconferencing and exhibition conferencing market is the Apple TV, for the very fact that you can run your stuff through to it via AirPlay. Surely that secondary monitor application now is just it's just killed the projector market, absolutely dead, for terms of hard linkage. Everyone now is just going to have a projector of some description or a large TV that's got an Apple TV stuck to the back, and you just flick your stuff straight over to on the same one.
So much better.
It's going to be enormous.
A lovely bright LED on the wall is going to be a much nicer image for people to look at than some kind of horrible projected thing with a badly adjusted bulb and light creeping in from everywhere. It's going to be awesome. It's going to look really good. And I think I think that's a brilliant thing. That's a technical term, isn't it?
Yes.
Everyone going on about Apple TV being just a hobby and that kind of stuff, and they still say it's a beta-ish type kind of product, but I think Apple have got half an eye on the conference market. I think they understand that they're actually hitting conference venues far more than homes, maybe a little bit with this, and that's where there's a good expansion potential for them, which is why that secondary monitor mirroring's come in. And it is a good feature, I'll grant you. There you go.
MacBook Pros and MacBook Airs and things. You know, Apple are big on mobile and laptops. You know, so many people are creating their presentations on their Apple laptops, and this is just like a brilliant step forward for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else in Mavericks that was a standout positive? Someone's put battery multiple. Life. Yeah, but battery life
multiple
wasn't
display.
Them.
Multiple display was, you know, I didn't mind that, honestly. The features you can have with multiple displays. When you scroll one screen, it doesn't affect the other screen. And I kind of like that, being the fact that I would love to use more of a dual monitor setup. iBooks, I could give a crap about. Tags was okay, because sometimes when you want to group your things in certain categories, whatever, I didn't mind the tags. It was all right.
Now, I looked at tags and thought to myself, that's smart folders. Smart folders is just a key ring. Yes. Smart folder.
True.
Yes, but if you tag a document, if you're working in a group with a collaboration of people, if you tag a document and you send them that document, is the tag in the metadata of the document? Do they get that tag? Because that would be cool.
Yeah, that sounds like it's too Star Trek for them. At the minute.
Well, if it's just tag it, if the Finder is recording the metadata for tags, then that's okay, but that is just what smart folders do. But if you're working with various clients and customers on various projects, and you can tag your documents,
that would be huge.
Projects and send them out to people, and it's automatically tagged at their end as well, then that's cool.
But you could share a smart folder through iCloud anyway, which would do the same kind of thing if you just had the folder, the document you were working on together in a smart folder in iCloud. But I looked at everything that they did with that, and I just thought smart folder. I didn't think there was anything that was super duper folder.
Okay, for me, I looked at tags and thought smart folder, but I was kind of doing a happy dance at the same time, because tags for me are a huge part of how I organize. So putting tags and tabbed Finder windows together for me is a killer feature. So what I've been doing for quite a while is using a plugin for mail called Mail Tags, and it lets me add just tons of metadata to all of my email. Mm. And part of that is tags. So the way I'm using mail, everything is smart mailboxes, and it's just all dynamically organized and sorted for me. And the way I use iTunes, it's pretty much the same thing. And I've been doing kind of a hobbled version of that in the Finder. And now being able to have tags so that I can throw all that metadata into my files easily without having to do a get info and go in and add notes and stuff like that is just going to be a huge time saver for me. So really the way I want to organize content on my computer is to throw some tags into my documents and then let my computer do everything else for me. And when I decide I need to look at my content in a different way, I just do a different smart search or smart folder. And that's where the tabs come in. Mm. I can have one window with several tabs, each one doing a different search based on the tags that I have. And so I have all of my content in front of me, changing dynamically based on how I want to see things at any given moment. So for me, it's a huge thing.
Yeah, I see, the chat room's made a point here that the tabs thing was just labels and smart folders combined, which is a fair point.
Yeah, but I think it's done in a way that makes it more useful because the labels thing just, it was okay, but it just really didn't work well for me. I have a feeling since tags will be built into open and save dialogues, that it will become something that I can use more effectively.
Okay. Fair point then.
All I know is I'm waiting. Maverick's fine. It looks okay. I'm waiting for Goose.
How about iCloud Keychain as well? I mean, if you can now share your passwords and credit card information across to your iPhone or iPad as well, that's...
Is that why Kelly's not on here now? She's sitting... There's been an edict from Last Password that they've got to not go on podcasts and talk about what's it, Keychain? Because that was... As soon as that came on, I was kind of like, holy hell, Kelly's going to be pissed off. But then afterwards, I was like, no, she won't be because they'll cock it up.
But I think that one of the things that's going to work really well is the Wi-Fi password syncing via iCloud Keychain. So that if you go into a wireless network with your iPad and you remember the password, then when you go back with your iPhone, that remembers the password. Smart.
That is good. Big Russ has pointed out that it only works with Safari, though, anyway. So.
Right. It only works with Safari, and it's just limited to password management. 1Password does so much more. I mean, you have plugins for all the major browsers. It works cross-platform, so you can sit down at a Windows machine or have an Android phone and still use it. And it lets you store securely so much more. I mean, 1Password for me, in addition to all the password stuff, it has all of the codes for software that I've bought. It has bank account information, passport information, my driver's license data, all the stuff that if I were to lose physical pieces of, you know, all those physical documents, I have that all backed up on every computer I have, my iPhone and my iPad, and it's safely tucked away in Dropbox as well. And that's the kind of stuff that iCloud Keychain just doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So iCloud Keychain is, to me, password management in the same sense that Time Machine is data backup. It's something that's there for the person that would like it, but would never have felt comfortable approaching that sort of feature before.
Right.
And then for the rest of us, we go out and buy real data backup applications, and we buy 1Password.
Cool. Okay. Mavericks, done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, done. Yeah, done and dusted.
Do you want to know where the name came from? There was a question about that in the chat room.
Go ahead.
Okay, so we all know that Apple's going with California location names.
Yeah, yeah.
Started with Maverick.
Dude!
Mavericks is a surfing spot outside of Half Moon Bay, so that's south of San Francisco. And it got its name from a group of surfers that wanted to go out to the location because it's known for having very high waves, like crests over 25 feet after winter storms. And so they went out, swam out, and they left their dog on the beach. The dog ended up swimming out and following them all the way out to the spot. So they had something with them that they could put the dog on so it wouldn't drown while they surfed the day away. And ended up calling the spot Maverick after the dog that swam out with them.
All right.
And then it eventually became Mavericks. And so there you go. Apple switched from naming their operating system after cats to a roundabout fashion naming it after a dog.
And Mavericks would be apostrophe S maybe then?
Maybe no. At one point, but yeah. It's not now.
No.
It's lost just Mavericks like plural.
Excellent. Okay. Next one, Haswell processors immediately pushed into the MacBook Air. They're on sale now. They're priced and they're up and running and out you go the door. Massive battery life improvement, supposedly. All day is now 9 hours, but 9 hours off an 11-inch MacBook Air, you've got to say, is fairly impressive. I do grant that. And the 13-inch will go up to 12 hours.
Wi-Fi in there as well?
They haven't moved the price, have they, on these? New Wi-Fi as well, yeah, sorry.
They dropped the price on the 13-inch by $100.
Oh, yeah. Right. So, I mean, I looked at the MacBook Airs. They look pretty powerful now, and they look, you know, they're right up there with the standard 15-inch from 18 months ago in the MacBook Pro line.
Actually, yeah. I mean, that's what's impressing me about this. That's what's impressing me about the line right now is because it's the model now that does make you start looking, first off, the price point, the PowerPoint, and everything else to go along with it. It is, to me, and I didn't think it ever would be, probably becoming their best-selling, quote-unquote, portable, you know, laptop.
You'd hope.
Price-wise, powerful-wise. For most people, I'd say even beyond for most people. I mean, I think even like you, Ewan, I think you would benefit, even doing with photography, you would benefit just fine.
Yeah, the only with a MacBook Air. The only thing that stops me with going to an Air is the fact of the drive. I can't physically manage with that little space on it. And by the time I've started chucking the extra drive in there and the extra memory, it's as much as buying one of these and expanding it myself with not much more extra. So I'd always have the expandability and use my own, preferably, within that. The one thing that struck me was the Haswell processors are not in all the other MacBook Pros, are they? They're only in the Airs.
Right, because this is brand new.
Right. But here's the thing. Do you remember going back about 6 months? There was a huge rumour going around about a 15-inch MacBook Air coming out.
Mm.
I reckon what's coming out is a 15-inch MacBook Pro with the Haswell chips in late summer, early autumn. And that will be that rumour fulfilled. It will be a full MacBook Pro, but it will be in an Air frame rather than in a standard MacBook Pro form as it currently is. That rumour will come true in the end.
But isn't that just a Retina?
Yeah, but I think the Retina will come with the whole frame. The Retina's thicker, though, isn't it? A long way thicker than an Air.
It's a lot thicker, yeah.
Yeah. But I think what you'll find now is with the new processors, they've got that power crunch that's going to allow them to go down in form factor in the MacBook Pros and still keep power exceptionally high. Might not be as thin, but it'll be Air-like.
That's what I'm saying, though. I mean, sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
Even if they don't change the form factor of the MacBook Pro, the Retina MacBook Pro, I'm expecting July-ish we will see Haswell processors in that model.
I just thought it was conspicuous at the fact that they came in with Haswell processors, but only in the Airs and not in the MacBook Pros, when the MacBook Pro would be the one that really is crying for it, and the desktops as well as. And it made me think they've got something up their sleeve with form factor then, if they haven't pushed it into the MacBook Pro as it stands. There you go, there's my prediction. I'll have $20 for someone on that. right then, finish off with iOS 7.
Oh, God. Yeah.
iOS 7. Johnny Ive's got a hold of it. It's got Helvetica Neue Ultralight as the main font on it. It's got blue movie balls that if you shake the screen, they wobble around even faster. It's got a whole new interface with loads and loads of flat icons and inverted commas that aren't that flat, really. And a whole load of interfaces that do look very, very nice. A few idiosyncrasies that I haven't got my head around yet, but we'll talk about those in a minute. What's the first thoughts on iOS 7 then, chaps?
Crayola,
you cheeky bastard. Go on.
Well, I want to like it, and I think a lot of the features I do like. But there's one thing that bothers the living crap out of me. Mm. It's the same home screen. I don't care what you've done with the icons. It's the same home screen. Change it up a little bit. Do something a little bit different. It's the same row set of icons that we've had. And I, honestly, though, when I look at it, I'm glad I got a white iPhone, because I don't think it's going to look as good on a black iPhone.
It looks gorgeous on the white iPhone. I've got it on the white iPhone, and it looks stunning.
So it's weird, isn't it, that in fact, you know, Apple's own guidelines, if you're an app developer or whatever and you want to promote your things, is you cannot use a white iPhone to promote your designs with. And then up they go on screen.
So they can do
white.
It. That's Oprah Winfrey, though, isn't it? Black and white only party, and she turns up in a red dress. But here's what I'm going to say, and you take this how you want, but I was kind of, yeah, Johnny's good, but Johnny's not the god of that Will Green thinks he is, and I like the stuff he does, but it's, I'm not going to start, you know, selling my kids to buy his stuff. But when it came out, and I got iOS 7 on my phone, and I looked at it, and I looked at the home screen with the base icons on there, what it made me want to do was delete every other application on my phone, because the icons that were on there didn't match with Johnny's. Design-wise, it made me look and think clean, pretty, easy on the eye. It did all the right things. It struck me as good design, and that's not because I want to muff Johnny Ive, because I'm not, you know, like Will at all, but I wanted to get rid of all the other icons because they looked crap in comparison to the clean look of the rest of it, and it looks beautifully clean. It is absolutely stunning.
Whilst we're discussing iOS 7 and you wanted a bit of graphic sort of feedback to base your comments on, I could redirect everybody to johnnyiveredesignsthings.tumblr.com.
Right.
Thing is, Ewan, do you still feel that way today? Because I was reading something earlier on where someone's had it for 3 days now, and now he's starting to see, now the initial ooh factor's gone, he's starting to get a bit upset with the simplicity of it all, which sounds weird to me.
I do feel the same way. I've got the Twitterbot application on my front homepage, and I want rid of it. I want it to be gone. I can't stand it.
He was getting upset with the Johnny... Well, actually, Johnny Ive apparently didn't design the icons. They were sent out to the various teams.
Yeah. Oh, I can believe he oversaw the design. I don't believe it's his own sketches by any stretch of the imagination, but...
You know, the thing that I'm really liking about iOS 7 after having the opportunity to play with it for a few minutes is it's the thing that I look for almost immediately in every application I try, and it's economy of motion. The more swipes, taps, and holds that I have to do to perform a single function, the less I like your product.
Mm.
And I think one of the things that Apple has done a really good job with so far in iOS 7 is trimming down how much I have to do to perform a task. And that's a huge thing for me. I don't care how flat the icons are ultimately, and I don't care how many other bells and whistles we get. The fact that they've made it easier for, like if you want to remove an application from the status bar, right now it's double tap on the home button, tap and hold on an icon in the status bar, swipe through till you find the one you want, and then tap the no entry button to get rid of it. Because, of course, no entry means quit. And now you do the swipe up, and all the apps are there in the status bar. When you see the one that you don't want anymore, you do the swipe up on that application's preview view, and it's gone.
One of the things that I don't find that as in not as intuitive. I didn't realise that until you've just explained it, Jeff. But the other thing that I found difficult was when I wanted to search for an application, I hit my home button once and it brought up the search page. Now, when I hit the home button once, nothing happens. And I have no clue where to search anymore. And I can't find anywhere to search.
To swipe.
Put your finger in the middle of the screen and swipe down.
Down is search. Right. That's okay.
Yes. I think the thing I'd really like the most about it, though, is Control Center. You know, having to go into settings all the time to turn on the freaking Wi-Fi and all that. You know, if I didn't want to leave it on or something, I like that. You know, the Bluetooth or whatever. It's that I really like. I like the transparency. I like the look of it. When it comes to that, I hate the icons though. I just hate how the icons look. Multitasking, I also like too, because before, you know, you just knew what application was open. Now you can actually see what's open. You know, I think maybe a bit of a, you know, it's a little bit BlackBerry-ish there. It's a little Android-ish.
I think it's WebOS.
Or WebOS. Yeah. That's even better. Yeah. WebOS. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like the torch. There's the torch from the home screen, says Windrider in the chat room. That's good. New search gestures, brilliant, says Belts. Reflector screenshot, droplet dome zone, ENW says. Hold and swipe. A lot of people like the look of this stuff. It is WebOS, says Belts. Yep, spot on.
I mean, there is a lot of stuff that is, you know, drawing influences from the best of WebOS and Android, and I think, you know, you'd be willfully dumb if you didn't do that to an extent. Mm. But even stuff like the control center and stuff, I kind of get the same feeling I get like when I'm dropping it, you know, knocking a website together quickly. It's like the first stage is, what's the information that has to be here? Where is it going to go on the page? Bonk, 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 bonk. And then you can start thinking about how the information is used and what the hierarchy of the information. And I think that, to me, a lot of the, you know, particularly the lock screen, is like, this is what we've got to get on the lock screen. It's on the lock screen. Yeah. And maybe later on they'll think about, how do we use the lock screen? They haven't quite got that far yet. But then, you know, early beta.
No, I think it's a good start. I think the only thing that bothers me is, like I said, there were some of the things that didn't appear to me, like search. I didn't know where that was. I've only had it for 36 hours anyway. But I've also got things like Siri. Siri's voice control, it's still making all the same errors that it did before. It's like they haven't changed it at all. I've got the core Siri 4. It runs relatively smooth on my 4S. It's not bad at all. There's a couple of little jerks, but I put those down to just idiosyncrasies rather than it overusing the phone. I've put it on Sharon's 4, and it runs just fine on there. There's a little lag on the keyboard, but that's it. The rest of it seems to run pretty well in comparison to mine. I think mine's probably, if I did a refresh and install, I'd probably see some benefit from it. But I like it. It's smooth. It's functional. There's a lot of stuff in there that is working. I've got a couple of applications which have crapped out. They're not working at all. One of them crapped out, but then all of a sudden it started working today. And the Can't Get Podcast app to work at all. Every time I press a podcast, it just freezes the whole phone.
Can I ask what the... Because the bit I like most about the whole thing is the new Photos layout. So how's that looking for you?
Yeah, I do. I think Photos appears really, really well now. It's a nice-looking thing. It's very easy. Before, I'd scroll through Photos, looking for photos, and they'd be embedded within others, and I'd never find them. And one of the photos that I was really difficult to try and find, I wanted to show someone today, and I flicked through it, and I found it instantly. So I think that's a plus sign, definitely.
Yeah, but I mean, on the minus side of things, there is nothing in the world that can't be improved by it, you know, live filters in an Instagram styly.
Oh dear, dear. Oh dear, dear. DHM.
What?
It's like that beard improves you, not.
It turns iOS 7 and its live filters will turn me into a pro photographer.
So how about one of the features that we're not getting here in the UK, only our American cousins are getting, and that's radio, iTunes radio.
Yeah, we all predicted that last week, and who was it that predicted to no UK? Would that be you, Mr. Madden, by any chance?
Yeah.
Well done, mate. It will come, though, won't it, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it will, because they did say it will come into other territories like later, but that could mean any time. But I was just wondering if it's something like, Jeff, is it something you're going to use? Now we know what iTunes Radio is. It's just basically Pandora, but for free. With ads.
Well,
I'm going to try it out. And I'm someone that has been through Pandora and Spotify and RDO, and I've been playing with Rhapsody, and it's the same thing with all of them. I will play around with them for a little while, and then I just stop. Because the streaming music thing, the way all of these interfaces work, I have to take myself out of everything else I'm doing to mess with that and then go back. And what I'm wondering is if with iTunes Radio integrated into iTunes, that it will be something that I can use easier. And if that's the case, then yeah, I may actually start using streaming music services on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. But it's going to have to be really, really cool. And I am looking forward to trying it out. We'll see if I'm using it 6 weeks after it comes out. That's the real test right there.
It was interesting, Kyle. You were talking last week with a bit of inside information, talking about $4.99 for it. But
that was a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, but they came. Well, it was last week. Cause it was the first week you were back in ages. But what was interesting was that they gave us the free model with ads, but they didn't give us an an ad-free model that was paid. If you were an iTunes Match subscriber, you got it free without adverts. Otherwise, you got it free with adverts, but there was no opt-in. So is that $4.99, do you think, coming for opt-in without adverts?
I if it is, that's too expensive. Because, I mean, most people won't even go that way. I mean, I'm not big on this. I think they've really screwed this up, honestly. I'm not really big on this iTunes Radio right now. First off, I think they got the name wrong. I think they should just call it iRadio. I think how they've laid it out, how they basically choose your station, how they... I think they would have been much better to go the Spotify route. They're going to copy something, let's copy Spotify.
Mm.
It's I'm just not that impressed with it. And, I mean, I haven't played with it, so this is just purely what we...
Seen at the
keynote, but when I look at I want a Led Zeppelin song. Well, it chose that Led Zeppelin song for me. I couldn't. You know, I get where they're coming from, how they're wanting to do it that way, because they're wanting you to use the iTunes Match service. They want you to buy the music and then you can stream the music that way when you want to listen to it. But if they would have went the Spotify route, I think you would have seen a lot. Personally, for me, I would have had a lot more interest in it. Now it's like a makeshift radio station that's something they're going to choose for me and something I would never buy into. If I'm an iTunes Match subscriber, which I am now, I get it ad-free, but it's a big deal. I'm just not that impressed with it.
Using my crystal ball here, purely, it could be just Apple trying to get a foot in the door with record companies. If they can prove that this makes them money, then they could always go back another time in the future and say, well, look, now let us stream whatever we want, and we can still turn that into money for you.
Yeah, I think that's why it works with the iTunes Match model, but that's where it falls down on the free with ads.
You know, I'm wondering if the limited control that Apple is giving people through iTunes Radio may be a benefit for the market they're going after. And I like the idea of me being able to go in and really control what music is being presented to me. I end up spending just a crazy amount of time just fiddling around with building playlists and telling it what I like and what I don't like. And I'm wondering, is the market they're going after the market of people that really doesn't want to spend the time to customize how they're listening to the music? They just want some service to say, oh, something. You like this kind of stuff? Here you go.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then the limited functionality totally makes sense.
Yeah.
If they're doing it this way simply because they think that that we're all muggles and need to be handheld through every application we use, then yeah, bad move.
Yeah, absolutely. Unlike Europe, Australia has expensive data plans, says WinRider, which is where he thinks there's going to be a bit of a fail with that. And the limitation on data bandwidth and that kind of stuff could become a big factor at some point. We're free in the UK on 3 network, I am anyway, so... But there we go. One of the interesting things as well is when I put iOS 7 on, it defaulted to no cellular data, which I didn't get that at all. The default was show nothing. We've had a couple of reviews. Thank you to those people who do bother to leave reviews. It means a huge difference to us. We've had one from Germany. Guten Tag. Ollie Polly from Germany has written, it's the best podcast ever. Love the show. Very informative, funny and entertaining. It's simply awesome. And Tim TJ from the United Kingdom said, if you're looking for something that is tech-based without the geek factor, you found it. I don't know what he means by that, whether that's an insult or not. The BTN show is entertaining, amusing, informed. I listen to the Big Show and the Mac Show on my daily commute and enjoy the light-hearted discussions and banter. It's great to have a show from the UK that's part of general interest to Apple users, and the general host never take themselves too seriously. In the case of the Mac Show, there is no strange geeky homage to Apple. Definitely not. Definitely not. The Bash is coming up. It's the 6th of July. If you haven't got a ticket, now's the time, I'm telling you. We have, I've done a lot this week. We've got the caterer booked in, which I did mention last week. We've got the menu sorted with her, and she's paid, and she's bringing it all, and she's wonderful. We've got the venue paid for. It's a big venue. It's a huge venue with a big garden at the back that we'll all get in, providing it's not raining. And if we are rained off, we've got somewhere to go rather than sitting under a tent and getting absolutely soaked like we did last year. So I've really thought about that element of it, but it's cost a bit more. That's why the tickets have been pushed so hard. And Wood Farm Brewery, who are a brewery down in Rugby, and they only make beers which are Rugby biased, so they're called Number 8, Union and Lions Pride. Those are the three that we've got coming. We've got 240 pints of beer coming. There you go. There is 3 9-gallon barrels coming. So
that's a great start.
That is. And there's some gorgeous beers. I mean, they're 4.6%, 4.7% and 5%. So they're a nice, strong flavour and we'll all be pished by the time we've had them. There's enough people coming to drink that much beer, I'm sure. But I need to find a way of keeping the kegs cool. So if anyone out there has got any equipment to help me that they can loan me or anything like that, or any stands that I can put the kegs on so that they rest and point downwards, they're going to be tapped and spiled. So, you know, you put a thing in, turn the tap to get your own beer, right? Everyone's just going to help themselves, but we need to find a way of keeping them cool. So if you've got a speciality or an understanding of that, then get in touch and we'll sort it. BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com. If you want a ticket, go to the website. You'll see the banner there. Buy your ticket straight off and we'll be in. There's a curry the night before at the local curry house, Kismet. It's a £10 deposit. You get that deposit back to pay with your meal, but that just secures your place. We're up to nearly 30 people for that event already, so... a few more and that thing will be absolutely sold out. We'll have taken over the whole restaurant. 5th for the curry, 6th for the bash. Get yourself over, have some fun. It's only 3 weeks away. You've got to get your ticket now, otherwise you ain't going to get in, I'm afraid. So come along and enjoy. It's going to be great fun. We've got the an FIA-sanctioned Space Opera Grand Prix. We've got the world-sanctioned Guinness Book of Records Top Trumps competition. It's a knockout. And we've also got... yes, the World Card Cutting Championships. It's a world-level event that's going to happen at the Bash on the 6th of July. There will be crowned a world champion at card cutting. There you go.
Called the luckiest geek ever.
Yeah, and it's best of three, so it's not luck. And there'll be the kids there as well. My kids are going. Steve Noble's bringing his kids. Aaron Clayton's bringing his kids. There's a few other people that have already written and said that they're bringing their kids. So there should be loads and loads of family fun. And we've brought the kids to stop cheers swearing. So off the gamer show.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. I'm dread to think the complaints are going to be enormous. This podcast and all the others, though, is brought to you by UK2. They're hopefully going to be at the Bash as well. Craig's coming up, and you can say hello to him and say how much you love your service. I had a guy come up to me on Monday night at the keynote event down at Elmer, and he said, hi, I'm Tim. I'm a listener to the show. Hello, mate. How you doing? He said, I've got to say, great shout on UK2. Before, I was with another provider, and I won't say who they are, but they're not your mother. And... he said they were absolutely atrocious. You wanted anything done, you wanted any problem sorted out, and it took forever. He said, I've gone over to UK2, A, hardly any problems, B, when I have had a problem, raised a ticket, just sorted instantly. Really, really, really good service. Can't thank you enough. Please, please, please tell UK2. And I said, well, tell them yourself, because that's what makes the difference. You come to our website, you buy their service through the links, and you use our offer codes. We get the kudos for it. You get great customer services and great internet provision from UK2. They've looked after us for a long time. They're going to carry on looking after us for a long time to come, I think. Please, please, please support them, because that you keep us on the air, because they pick up everything that we need on the net, no matter what it is. New podcast, comic show, all that bandwidth's gone. It's picked up already by UK2 before we even start it. You got a podcast you want to bring to this network? Bring it along. UK2 will pick up all the bandwidth. You've just got to put an advert in there for them. That's it. That's the deal. UK2. Bloody marvellous. Bloody marvellous. Right then, it's that time. It's time for the cool thing. Starting us off, Monsieur Swagger.
Well, last week I was on kind of a sports kick of apps with Zententa. This week I'll be on the NFL side and go with Game Pass. This is for people in the UK as well. I believe it's £209 for the entire season. I don't think that includes the Super Bowl, though. Or the playoff games. And then there are certain restrictions, of course, that are blacked out for your region. There's other parts of the world, however, though, particularly in Asia, you get to see everything. It was $199 for the entire season, including Super Bowl and playoffs and all that. Of course, the app is free. And one thing I really, really love about it is you get 24/7 live streaming of NFL Network, as you can see right here. Live right from the States.
Excellent.
And right now I'm using Skype and streaming this, and it's actually working pretty good, amazingly, on a 5 megabit connection. quality's really great. AirPlay to Apple TV. If you're an NFL fan, you're living abroad, you're not in the U.S., and you got to see all your games. Highly, highly recommended.
Excellent. And it's based on your location isn't important, is it? As long as you've got the account set up.
It needs to access your location where you're at. So the location services need to be enabled on the app. So it does know where you're at. So if you're in the UK, it's going to know whatever packages that you're on, that this game for this region is blacked out for you because it's shown on, you know, Sky Sports or whatever it is over there.
Yeah.
But other than that, though, it really does work. And like I said, in the U.S., it's not available in the U.S. U.S. and I think Canada, too, it's not available in.
Right.
Because they have exclusive with DirecTV and Rogers there. So.
Right, yeah. Jolly good. Good pick. Yep. Thank you, mate. Jeffrey, do you have anything for us, sir?
I do. And believe it or not, even with short notice getting on the show.
Thank you, mate. I do appreciate you coming on.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for asking me on. Right, my pick, I actually have already mentioned it. It's MailTags 3 for Apple's Mail application. And what it does, like I said, is it lets you add all kinds of metadata to your email messages that you otherwise wouldn't be able to put in there. And then you can search all that content and set up your smart folders and just use this to dynamically organize all of your email. And the metadata that MailTags adds stays with each message. So if I add tags to organize for messages for a project, I reply back to someone, and then they reply back to me again, those tags are still in there. So my messages in threads like that will automatically sort, even though I didn't add tags back in after I got a reply back. It's awesome. And you can use it to take messages and then create tasks out of those. So they go to reminders. And then if you're using any application that uses Apple's calendar database, then it sends you can create events that send over to that as well.
Excellent.
Yeah, and then those messages, of course, are attached to the appointment, and it's a great way for me to set up an appointment and then have all this extra information available to me when I need to go back and reference it before the event actually starts.
Excellent.
So MailTags 3, and I totally forgot how much it costs.
Doesn't matter. People can find it. Stick a link in the doc, and we'll... We'll get that sorted. Good picture.
I don't have the doc.
There is no doc. Send it to Carl, and Carl put it in the communities page.
All right, I just dropped it in the chat room.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I just want to try something real quick, Ewan. No, Jeff won't blink.
No, he's good. No. He's good at that game, isn't he? Stare him out. Go on, stare him out.
Damn.
That's right.
DHM, what do you have, mate?
Well, I have a pick of the week, which is based on the comics podcast experience, because obviously until we started that, I'd had kind of cast my comics and comic illustration past aside, and was just doing Macs and things. And I'd really just ignored that whole side of things. And one of the things that I'm having real joy from the comics podcast is not just talking about comics, but this little bit at the back of my brain going, oh, you used to love this stuff. You used to do this stuff. And it's like I've been drawing back at home or using the Wacom tablet, this sort of stuff, which has all been brilliant. And I've started consuming again comics, which I've just ignored completely. And obviously I'm late to the party. Sorry, Jeff. But Comixology, which is basically iTunes for comics. It's fantastic.
Awesome.
It's, you know, it's a free app, obviously. But in the way of these things, the content is paid for. But there's a huge amount of free content, free samplers, you know, fan design comics and just giveaways from the major publishers on there. You know, if you want to get into comics, if you don't want to spend any money, the app's free, and there's enough free content to keep you going for weeks on there. Looks gorgeous on the iPhone. It's got this fantastic technology which allows you to just flick through the comic almost frame by frame, and it seems to have a preternatural knowledge of where the comic's going next to you know, blow frames up and blow them down. Works better, obviously, on the iPad because of the screen resolution and the size. But, you know, it's not unlivable on the phone itself. I love it. And I've unfortunately been spending actual real money on comics, which is as it should be, because these guys, people are creating this stuff with their own sweat, blood and tears. And it's really nice to have a way to just, you know, click buy, click buy, click buy, and know that somebody's getting paid for their art. Comixology.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And last but by no means least, Mr. Madden, what do you have for us?
Well, I'm going to break my Google picks this week, and I'm going for an older game. So this is, what's it called? Asphalt 7. It's a universal app for the iPad and the iPhone. 69p currently in the App Store. And all it is it's a racing app. And it's really fast, although you probably can't see that because I can't drive like this. But it's good fun, very phonetic. You haven't got to wait every time you upgrade your car, for starters.
Yay! We like that.
Right, although Asphalt 8 is going to come out in a few weeks or a month or so, this will tide over. It will tie me over until then. It's really fun, and I was playing it last night for about an hour. The only bad side is it makes your iPad incredibly hot because it's really throwing around the graphics there. But if you can get around that, over that, it's really good.
Okay. Good, man. Excellent pick. Thank you very much. My pick is a simple one. It's in the Mac App Store, and it's MP3 encoder. I bought this because one of the problems that I have is if the show goes over an hour and a half, Logic has got a 2 gig limit for a bounce file for some reason for AIF, which why it does it, I don't know, because I never want the AIF file anyway. I only want the MP3. So I end up having to take the audio off the movie, and the movie audio comes out at 1.8 gig or something like that. So I have to compress it, and I looked for something the other week to do it when we had the failure of Logic to sort the longer file out, and I found this, and I looked at the reviews, and there was two bad reviews. One said it wouldn't rip WMAs, rather, and the other one said that it wouldn't batch convert, and the other one said that the guy overwrote his old files, and then it encountered an error with the file, so it ended up deleting the old file, which, what an arse. So I had a go with it, and it was £1.69, I think, or something like that, £1.49. It's beautiful. It's very fast, quick and easy to use. I stuck an M4A into it, and it changed it no problem into an MP3 without a worry, and I put an AIF into it, and it did the AIF from 1.8 gig to 50 megabytes in about 4 minutes. So that was pretty fast, I thought. MP3 encoder, it's an MP in blue lowercase with a 3, and then it's got like a row of bubbles around it making a circle if you want to find it. But I've put a link to Carl, and Carl will stick it in the communities doc. If you haven't joined our communities on Google Plus, then you should, because they're fantastic. Get your Google Plus account, tie yourself to British Tech Network via either the British Tech Live Gmail address or the British Tech Network one. Find it on your Google Plus search for, just put The Mac Show, The Big Show, The Photo Show, The iOS Show, The Media Show, The Gamer Show, etc., and now The Comic Show. And you can join that community, and that community will have all the debates you damn well like, and there's a whole load of them raging at the moment, so it's almost like a little forum we got going there. Well done, Carl. Thanks very much, mate. Do appreciate it.
No worries.
I do have a little something for you.
Pick up on?
Yeah, no, you'll see it. You'll find it. You'll find it soon. Right, so where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Swagger?
Sorry, I was on mute.
I just assumed the NSA found you again.
Yeah.
No, I'm just laughing at what Ewan said, and you'll see it. You'll fancy it. Sorry. Anyways.
Moving on.
You can find me. Just follow me on Twitter. That's the simplest thing to do. I call Swagger. Tech tweets, sports tweets. If you're into that thing, I tweet it all there.
Good man. Thank you very much. Jeff, the frozen gamut, where are you, mate?
Am I still frozen?
Yeah, you're frozen up. I think it might be my end, so don't worry.
All right. Well, you can find me at macobserver.com, and you can find me on app.net and Twitter. I'm Jay Gamut, both places. And then you can find me at Fresh Brewed Tales, where I write about all the ridiculous stuff that happens at coffee shops, and then a bunch of podcasts, Apple Context Machine, Apple Weekly, what's the one that I do here? The Big Show. We have
it's such a long list now.
Comic Show. I kind of get around.
Okay, that's good. You did describe yourself as a podcast whore, I think, didn't you once?
Yes, yes, and that's completely accurate.
Yes, excellent. But he's our podcast whore, and we love him.
Yeah.
DHM, you are?
I am.
Where?
Dr. Happy Mac, all over the place. I'm creeping up. Obviously, Jeff's taken me under his wing, and I've expanded from one podcast to two podcasts, which is always good.
I'm an enabler.
And a what? A neighbor?
I'm an enabler.
It'll take over your life before you know it, mate.
Expanded into a neighbor. So, yes, you can find me on at Dr. Happy Mac on the Twitters. I think thinking back into the mist of time, I think I've got at Dr. Happy Mac on app.net, but life's too short.
Expanding into a neighbor is grounds for divorce, I understand. So, be careful.
You haven't seen our neighbor.
And last but by no means,
my wife. I'm here all week.
Thank you, Les Dawson. Carl Madden, where are you, sir?
You can get me on Twitter at Glorzio101 or on Google Plus at just Carl Madden, or you can get me on normally on The Big Show or The Media Show or The Mac Show, this one, or.
Yeah.
Or The Here and There Show as well.
Right.
God, Claude, Carl, do your Bender impression there.
Sorry?
Can you do your Bender impression?
It was my one.
You started out well.
I don't know what you mean, sorry.
Oh, you don't watch Futurama?
Yeah, but what one
do you... It reminded me of the time code thing when Bender decodes it.
Oh,
01110101101101101101.
I can edit, never mind.
Futurama.
And mine is Ewan Rankin. You can find me at Ewan Rankin or right here on the Jeff Gamet Network.
Thanks for being on my shows, everyone.
Thanks, man. We'll see you next week. Everything will be back to normal next week. Everything's done and dusted privately, so my photo show will be back next week, and Mac show will be back to normal, and Big Show's going to be on a Thursday night, and everything will be sweet and dandy. So
normal, you mean by British tech?
No, things have been awry the last couple of weeks for very good reason, and they'll quieten down next week. So thanks very much for your patience. I do appreciate it. Buy your bash ticket, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Cheerio. Bye.